Hello everyone and welcome back to Cinema Gems. We are in a video store somewhere in your hometown. That's right, video stores still somehow somewhere still exist. And we're in the annex of our video store actually, which means I'm running the show now. Kind of sort of not really. But yeah, welcome back. I have some fun people here with me in the annex this time. They're not in another studio. They're using my place. And one of them is the Admiral, Admirable Admiral.
Hello,
Hi, Admiral.
but Maestro, I
Welcome
just
back to my studio.
hey, it's fine. I know we had to boot the dogs out. I'm just kidding. You know what?
No, they decided they were done, and we respect that.
So they went. They became a highborn society and just melted into like Star Trek fabric form, where they become anointed and just boom went everywhere.
Or they become like the Skeksis, but like the angelic form.
Oh.
It's like superseding. But we do have someone else in the video
No,
store
I
that I
just want to
really want
say,
to talk about
I
as
want to
well.
say that I know this is an audio only podcast, but I can say
So
that
why are we wearing these?
I can't take you seriously with those glasses
I
on.
can't take you seriously. Is he
But we have
the person who does
Dr.
still
Owen
look pretty?
McGregor!
The one person of the three of us that still looks somewhat like seriously takeable with these stupid glasses on.
Encircled with my sunglasses
So
of
these are
basketball.
Pelican
Scott, welcome
sunglasses.
back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the Pelican
They're
sunglasses.
free. They're yours.
Yes, indeed.
Just like this, just like this is, we do this for free.
Feel
They're
like
ridiculous
basketball
and they're
royalty.
squeezing both sides of my cranium. Or just do it. Just put it on your
They're actually a
forehead.
little bit
That's only
painful.
because the medicinal butt maestro has a
Oh my
massive
goodness.
cranium.
Yeah, because he's got to store all his knowledge from movies. So, Dr. Armand Krugel, thank you for coming in. Oh, by the way, we are a podcast that have angry nerds argue about movies and what's good and what's not. We know that there's a
Something
lot of
like
those,
that.
but we're glad that you choose us. I did the best I could, but Maestro.
You didn't correct me with yours. I'm not going to correct
I
you with
didn't
mine.
do the best. Did the best. But yes, Dr. Armand Krugel, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And this is, I think we should call this the Paul Verhoeven saga.
Yeah, it certainly is a saga.
So,
That would be one way to put it. Look, before we get into what the heck we are talking about today, look, y'all know we've been trying for a while for this to be a show that if schedule, isn't what it should be, you can listen to this show in the car with your kids and not be worried
correct.
that they'll hear something that they'll be suddenly very curious about. This episode, I'm just gonna say right off the bat, please don't listen to this
So,
with your kids. We're gonna try. We're gonna
and your
really
kids
try.
shouldn't be watching this
But if you
movie.
know anything about this movie,
Yes.
your kids should definitely not be watching this movie.
Yeah.
So, I told each of y'all to watch this movie as a satire,
Yeah.
as a dramatic satire.
Sure. And that's better than what the marketing wanted you to watch it as,
Right.
for sure.
Well, I mean, if you look at Paul Verhoeven, he's done a lot of dramatic satires. RoboCop is a dramatic satire of
Police.
police. Starship Troopers was a
Yeah.
dramatic satire of the military.
Yep.
And fascism. And yeah. No.
Hollow Man was a dramatic satire of science and scientists.
Yep.
Total Recall was a.
What was Total Recall?
I don't know, but it was awesome. Basic Instinct was a
Yeah.
dramatic satire of business and
Yeah.
like how far you're supposed to go in business.
And this one is a satire of how the society, the system, the entertainment system treats women.
Sure.
So I'm not going to say you're wrong, and I'm not going to say that that's a bad way to look at it. It's not. And like I said before, it's definitely a much better way to look at it than how marketing would have had you believe when this movie came out. When it was marketed to young men as, hey, look at all the naked women on screen. That's not the point of the movie. And shortly after those marketing campaigns, the director and writer, Joe, I'm gonna try my best, Esterhaas, Josef Esterhaas,
Okay, yeah, sure.
Sounds good.
who, if you're wondering, you hear the dialogue in this movie and you're like, this doesn't sound like the person who wrote it, spoke English as a first language. You're correct. He didn't.
Wow.
You're absolutely correct. This Hungarian American writer did his best. And he came out after these initial ad campaign for this movie going, that's not the point of the film. This is supposed to show the horrors of the sex work industry and the entertainment industry as an up and coming person in it. and all the horrible things you might have to do to preserve what you thought was your dream. So I agree, satire, but also horror. It had elements of horror for me.
And also
a horror sapphire.
Maybe not.
You know what?
Maybe not like that.
A satire.
With horrific proportions.
Yep, there you go. That's it. We did it. We mashed it together. Yeah.
Tell me that there weren't parts of this film that didn't give you the same awful anticipation as watching a character in a horror film think they're on top of the world and stumble into something awful.
And keep stumbling into it.
So okay, and also, can we talk about the cast? Can we talk about Colin McLaughlin?
Yeah, Paul Atreides, yeah. Playing an absolute piece of scum, as the majority of men in this movie are.
Well, the majority of everybody in the movie was, because Elizabeth Berkley character...
Absolutely. Like,
Jesse!
What a... Well, yeah. Not, Jesse not, Spanos the second.
Like, you want to sympathize with her.
I mean, not really. Like,
she does things.
And then...
It's like, she repeatedly is like a stairs. Really bad person. Like,
I also whenever she tries to hide her backstory, she's like, oh, don't worry about it. Oh,
well, and then when her backstory comes out, it's like, hey, you shouldn't have been doing all this. Like what? Yeah, like people definitely would have said it was a bad idea. Like, I mean, you were in the wrong. Like, when I was watching it, I was just writing, and like, you guys can see, like, every couple of lines I have, what a terrible person she is. Like, she really sucks as a human being. She is such a bad person. Like, it's like, just like, it keeps hitting me. It's like, yeah, she really sucks as a person. Like, it's like, I don't want anything good to happen to her in this movie. Like, and I hate feeling like that, but it was like the whole movie was this. It was just like orbiting around the one person. I know we don't have, this is not a video podcast, but I'm holding my pen on the table and having my finger going around in orbit.
Yeah. And I like it's an ellipses orbit too.
Yeah. But that's what the whole movie was just following around Jesse Spanos.
And you know what? The listeners, as we said, this is not a video podcast. But all I have to say is that Dr. Alan Kringle had his Pelican based basketball sunglasses on the whole time.
Yeah.
And I understood everywhere.
Magnificent.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful.
How would that affect being able to hear him talk, Admiral?
No. Focus.
Yeah.
Try focus. Yeah.
It'd break my focus.
No, man. I was locked in the whole time. And I agree.
I took him serious.
And he wasn't even gazing into the Pelican sunglasses.
I agree. She probably wasn't a great person when she started in this industry that we see her trying to get.
Well, no, she obviously wasn't, because she was Pollyanna or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was already like trafficking and smoking crack. And
I think it's safe to say she's the kind of person that, like, once she sees what she wants and once she sees other people that have that thing, she's going to mimic that awful behavior, thinking that's how you get this far.
She already had that awful behavior. Like, I don't know. It's just like I thought her as a character was just like, and you know, like, reading up a little bit on the movie, like, Verhoeven actually apologized to her for having her listen. Is like how it's kind of where he came with it.
I'm glad he apologized.
It's like he apologized to her, and like, he was like, you know, like, they were like, a lot of critics like panned her acting and stuff like that.
The best she was given.
And but he said he was like, yeah, punch it up and punch it up. And when I'm watching it though, The one thing that I thought was kind of positive about this movie was the fact that, like,
the choreography and the dancing actually wasn't bad and was in time most of the time.
But if you look at it, like, it's a theatrical production. Like, it's not here for that.
More or less how Verhoeven intended for it to be.
So, so you think this could be a play?
It's like a movie of a play.
It is backstage doing a play. Live.
Yeah, like, and that's kind of like, I think that maybe was like where his head was at. That's where I felt like his head could have been at.
As we know that you love Paul Verhoeven movies. Insert clip now.
I love all the Paul Verhoeven movies.
Bum, 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 ba-dum.
I love all the Paul Verhoeven movies.
Bum, 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 ba-dum.
I do love
Paul. What's the time so I can cut it in?
9:35.
All right. Perfect.
If you can certainly try. Welcome to Cinema Gems. Our editing is janky at best. We do our best.
Sorry, guys.
it Works for me.
No, there's ways to watch this movie that go way deeper and well past what you might think on a surface level this movie is trying to be, especially if you have heard any of the marketing originally and since of this movie, because a lot of people review this movie and go, oh, it's nothing but naked women. No, it's, I mean, it is a lot of that, but it has a point. It's not a pretty point at all, and I can't believe I am comparing this movie in any way to Saving Private Ryan, but similarly, in only one aspect.
I thought he was going to say Journey.
Hang on. Bear with. Similar in only way, in that I'm glad I watched it for the purposes of
for the plot.
For the plot, specifically for the plot.
That's what I did.
It's hard to watch. It's a difficult watch because terrible people are doing terrible things to some decent and other mostly terrible people.
Hey. But it happens in Vegas, so it stays in Vegas.
Some of this stuff should be going to the Supreme Court.
Oh my God.
Some of this stuff should be going to the Supreme Court.
What was up with that dance off though? With her and Glenn.
Was it dance?
It was doing two completely different things. Like
big time.
Like, what is going on?
So my question is, So Kyle MacLachlan obviously had a crush on Elizabeth Berkley's character.
No, yeah.
I think her pelvis had a crush on him first.
Yeah. And then the main girl, the main
Nina Gershon.
She also had an attraction to Elizabeth Berkley's character?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Did she?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
That wasn't weird that I got it.
Okay, that's kind of the whole toxic mess of that love/hate triangle, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Berkley comes in, Naomi comes in, Crystal, I believe, or Crystal. Crystal. I mean, look.
Crystal?
It is what it is.
Versus.
Right? Is definitely like taken aback by her and is definitely fascinated by her, but there's definitely a line later on in the movie where Naomi's like, are you mad that Kyle MacLachlan's like, are you mad that I got to her first?
That
happened.
Yeah.
And she was like, it was definitely a competition between these two people because they might have been in a relationship. It was not a healthy.
Oh my God, are you serious though?
Oh, but he was like her assistant early on, huh? Like,
yeah. Well, he was supposed to be the talent agent.
Yeah.
He was the one who helps with the talent. So yeah. Oh, and also with that whole thing when they were like, oh, hey, do you want to come work this boat show for a couple extra dollars?
And it turned into probably some kind of human trafficking.
Problem alley? Yeah.
Probably some kind of selling someone out / trafficking.
Because have you ever seen Caesar sing? And I'm just like, wow, okay, cool. Completely different meaning.
Yeah, Caesar sing.
Sing.
That scene was really weird.
That scene went from like kind of Comic-Con charming, which is like, this is cute, but I want you to be like a 6 feet, exactly. 6 feet barrier, to really gross, really fast.
I was going to say really dark, but yeah, no, gross too.
Dark also and gross.
Dark. Yeah.
And also at the party with the singer that her roommate, I guess she lives with, she was all like, oh my God, it's a singer, it's a singer. And then his goons.
Then all that happens.
That was so like. Why did I put that in the movie?
I fast forwarded through that scene, and I give you, if you really insist on watching this movie, the library has a few copies, but they're all really scratched up because I think someone really hates this movie.
You know what? You beat me to that joke, and I'm glad you did because, yes, I believe that I have a picture of it. And we need you to read the DVD back too.
That being said, please support your local library. No, I do have the DVD case right here, but this is the one you brought.
Yeah.
Because the Admiral owns this.
Yeah. I got it at an estate sale. Not in the villages, though.
How many hundreds of dollars did you pay for this?
I think it was 50 cents.
Leave your inhibitions at the door.
So
and the show is about to begin.
Oh, we started now. Yes. Let's go.
Oh, okay.
That's on the back of the
DVD. Yeah, no, I didn't talk about it. I don't have my glasses. Seduction, passion, and power struggles unfold when creators of Basic Instinct director Paul Verhoeven and screenwriter Joe Escherhaus blow the lid off the seemingly glamorous world of Las Vegas show dancing to create one of the most controversial and shocking films of all time. Nomi Malone has what it takes to pick up a Las Vegas showgirl. What she doesn't have is a way in. To survive, she accepts the only job available, lap dancing at a seedy club. And when she meets Cristal, Vegas's reigning showgirl, Nomi wants everything she has, including her boyfriend.
Yep.
And as Nomi dives deeper into the world she so desperately desires, a rivalry between the two women heats up. The battle for the spotlight becomes so fiercely competitive that it drives Nomi to desperate lengths and devious heights for fame in Sin City.
See, if you watch it like that, it's good.
I will say, the kind of driving force of the narrative in this movie, and you kind of already touched on it, is the weird rivalry between Naomi and Crystal. Crystal, you're right.
Crystal wants. I'm sorry, I'm going to call her Jesse. I know it's Elizabeth Berkeley or Naomi.
Jessa.
They have this weird dance off after she sleeps with Kyle MacLachlan's character. Yep. Oh, hey, there's a audition to be the backup. So she is given the backup, basically, but the audition is a formality. And then it's taken away from her.
Yeah. And she's furious and she goes into his office.
This is one small example in a microcosm of just a sea of abuse and people taking advantage of each other. But the whole thing of Crystal and Nomi hurting themselves and hurting each other and doing lots of awful things for the affection and attention of the guy who owns the entertainment of the casino is awful and tragic, because they're both being manipulated by him.
Yeah.
They're both being manipulated into destroying each other by the same dude, by the same people.
I 100% agree with you. And like, as you said earlier, you should watch this knowing that there is essay and also like hints of things doing for money that shouldn't be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So watch it at your own
risk, at your own pace.
Yeah. Now that we got the main plot out of the way and everything, I want to talk about our favorite scenes, but also the Butt Maestro. Do you see all these notes?
No, I do.
That Dr. Amon Kringle has? I want you to just read them all.
I'm copiously noted.
Yeah, you are. That's like 3.5 pages of notes.
Yeah.
That's literally, no, you know what? That's 5.5 pages of notes.
I don't have to have like love movie to kind of pick out things that I was like a little concerned with and weirded out by. But like, you know, like some of this, like at one point I was like, wait, what movies has Elizabeth Berkeley been in? Like, why?
Not
like
much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was in Any Given Sunday, something called Roger Dodger, which I've never heard of. Point Break, yeah. And then like we always forget that she was a hardcore member of Baywatch for a while.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, like that's cool. Like, really don't know, like,
and then Saved by the Bell, of course.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, of course, Saved by the Bell, yeah. And I mean, this was obviously like her big like tentpole break, like, it's, you know.
So you think this was her like ushering off the like Saved by the Bell like shackles?
Maybe. I mean,
she
I
tried.
This could have been, yeah, this
she tried been at
swing
least
at that. Yeah. And I mean, and like, I think, you know, if we look at the concept of Paul Verhoeven being like, yeah, just go over the top with everything, like she did, like she did
the majority of this cast did that, actually.
Yeah,
she was done what she was told.
Yeah, it seems like she probably, you know, like,
she that doesn't the make role that they were trying to capture.
Yeah, I think she probably nailed that. Yeah, no, and the whole like what movie like has a scene with a bunch of monkeys and then two women start fighting right after it? Like, it's like this movie does.
Yeah,
this movie has
I saw that note that you have right here, and I agree with you.
Yeah, like yeah, they like the same, and like and
what about the kids?
Yeah, the kids are in the dressing room and it's super weird, and it's like, Why is that? Why is that woman so angry all the time too? Like, why are you trying to like set up those stereotypes too? Like, yep. It's like that's unfair.
Not great.
But like, I think this is one really interesting question that I had. Like, I was watching the movie, like, and like so serious. Like,
read it. No question.
So, Verhoeven has made some of my favorite science fiction movies of all times. Right, like,
yep.
Very high on the list. The movies we mentioned earlier, RoboCop, Starship Troopers, Total Recall, Hollow Man. Some of, like, definitely some of my favorite sci-fi movies, right? And Kyle MacLachlan, like, I just mentioned these two. Kyle MacLachlan was in this movie called The Hidden, which if you haven't seen it, you need to see it.
It looks weird.
It's super weird. Like, super weird.
It looks real weird.
I'm right. Extra weird, but, like, sci-fi and really fun to watch, right? So, imagine if in this movie, Elizabeth Berkley was an alien.
Berkley or Hurley?
Berkley. This wasn't Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh, okay, cool. So, sorry. I was like, wait, did we transfer movies?
Did bedazzle.
So,
already did
bedazzle. Thank you.
So, imagine, like, the way she acts in this movie, like, could easily be she's an alien that can mimic human movement and dance.
Do you know what? It's a very interesting,
much weirder movie.
That's way more tragic, actually. Just an alien comes being down, abused. Tries to give us a chance, and we just abuse it.
When did The Hidden come out? What year?
Oh, I think
I got it here.
Yeah, I think it was
1987.
Okay, cool. Write it down.
Her being an extraterrestrial makes this movie much more tragic.
Would have been this.
And really concerning. So, because if they make it back to their home world, they're going to be like, we either got to destroy it or leave it alone.
Like, forever. Imagine if the end scene was her, like, walking onto the gangplank of a flying saucer and flying off.
And have E.T. there.
E.T.'s like, oh, baby.
Home,
no.
My wife.
Oh, no. Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, so another, like, I was really concerned with Glenn Plummer, who was, what was his name? James?
James Smith.
James, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
He got real invasive real fast.
It was really weird. Like, there was never any, like, actual teaching going on. Yeah, that was like the whole purpose of his character, basically.
And you know where he's from too?
Hmm.
He's in he's from The Day After Tomorrow. He's the homeless man.
Yeah, he's been in a couple things.
He's like, an amazing actor.
Yeah. And it was super weird. It was like, okay, like that's all right, cool. Like, he was so insistent, so popping up everywhere. And like, he never really served as like advisor or anything like that. It was just like,
it's okay. Well, we at 2022. You're fine. That's fine. Okay. We were talking about Elizabeth Hurley. No, Elizabeth Berkley. It happened again already. So I
have to leave that hole. Trying to turn this back into Bedazzle, just like I kept trying to turn Jury Duty back into Judge Dredd.
You did. I love how you were like, a week after April Fool's, you're like, April Fool's, watch Judge Dredd instead.
Yeah, I was tempted, but yeah.
So I agree with you about everything that you said, but the movie's just weird.
Yeah.
It's super weird. But when you're talking about the whole, like, weird aspect, I love how he's like, oh, well, what are you gonna do? Oh, I'm gonna work at a supermarket. Why? Because I got this, you know,
I got her pregnant.
Yeah, and it's cheap on baby food. You gotta do what you gotta do. And I was like, wait, so this
is that the end of your,
this is my life's done? Okay, I'm just like, cool.
Okay,
you were in the movie for so long.
Okay, great, you were in the movie from the very beginning.
Yeah,
so yeah, like I thought that was a little weird. So Have you guys kind of seen who else auditioned for her part?
No.
No.
But I bet you have it in your vast
array of notes. I have it in my vast array of notes.
Your tome?
My tome of notes. Pam Anderson. Angelina Jolie. Vanessa Marcil, who was married to Johnny Depp. I don't
know. Oh!
Charlize Theron. Jenny McCarthy.
Oh.
And it was then that they found out that Jenny McCarthy could not dance, and she was not eligible for this role. And also Denise Richards.
Really?
Who wound up working in Starship Troopers.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Dang. All of those, most of those actresses would have definitely done a better job at certain acting parts of this than Nomi Malone,
Well, I think they would have probably
than Elizabeth
refused
Berkley.
to
Be
go with
topless most of the time?
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was the main underselling point for that because sometimes I'm look, okay, we're three men, so we can't
I'm
really
glad we're finally addressing this. That
22 minutes in. We're three men. We that we didn't want to look, we want to talk about it being a satirical film, but we understand that there's a lot of heavy stuff in this movie.
Which is why, again, I don't disagree with your satirical take on the movie because there are definitely satirical unreality elements to
Right.
it, but I think the realistic elements of it are horrific
Yes. And that's
and
why
meant to disturb you, meant to not sit well with
That's not wrong, yeah.
Like when she attacks that burger, she looks like she has
Nah,
an
she
eight.
eats so many cheeseburgers in this movie though. Like and like they're like, hey, do you want some cheeseburger fries and a Coke? And they're like,
It's like, where does he go?
it's like,
Where does he go?
it's like
He
it's
dances it off 5 minutes later
well, yeah, and that doesn't
with
surprise me.
extreme ferocity.
And
Like every time she
but
dances,
what's
she
wrong
is
with
full
brown rice and
extension.
vegetables? Yeah,
Nothing. Brown rice and vegetables is all right.
So, and also the other nightclub owner that she worked at the let's call it a
Gentlemen's Club?
yeah, sure.
There
Yeah.
you
Yeah, there you go. Where they have like an MC that comes out and she like flips her shirt and like shows her
go.
boobs and people are like, oh, blah, blah. And it's like, what is this? Is this like a comic with
I guess they have a
like
comedic relief act.
I guess.
Well, I thought it was funny when she rolled up with Robert Davi and
Oh
like
my
they're
goodness.
like what they were on a date or something. Like it was like, hey, what's up? And wait, his quote was his quote must be weird not having
And
any
he was the
money.
club owner.
We're gonna have to bleep it out, but
Oh,
I'm glad to say it again. I
okay.
already bleeped the word right there. So go ahead and say it again. You're fine.
Must be weird not having anyone. Yeah.
It's like, why would you?
I can't wait for that word to just be laughed over.
Yeah.
But why was that? Why was it such a like
We should make
delivery?
up. Like
Why was it such like an interesting
he was like
delivery?
this, like, yes. Like that's what you
I'm
whisper
glad you wrote it down because,
to
and
somebody's
also he is from The Goonies.
ear. Yeah. Oh,
Yes,
he's from
a
so
lot
many
of things.
bad guy
Yeah,
things.
and he's also in, isn't he in License to Kill?
Probably.
I think so. Definitely License to Kill, The Expendable 3, The Goonies, and Die Hard.
Oh yeah, he's one of the FBI agents.
I am
He's
all over the
yeah,
place.
he's one of those dudes that pops up and then
He's
gets killed.
still working.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
He's
still
still
alive?
working. He's still doing stuff.
Wow.
Oh, he's playing Reagan? Is that who he's playing?
I think. Hang on.
Oh wait.
No, he's
Okay.
Brezhnev.
Oh wow. Okay. That's cool. Yeah, I don't know. This movie had a lot of interesting quotes. I'm erect. Why aren't you erect?
It's just one of those where it's like, wow, this is what men say to women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, you'll have to sell it.
So, like I was kind of talking about before, there are satirical elements of this movie that I think really play into the big bombacity of the shows themselves.
Yeah.
But again, more realistic and very jarring and disturbing elements of the movie are, like you said, how men talk to each other when there's no
Sure,
boundaries,
sure.
and how men talk to women when they have nothing to lose
Yeah.
and when they think they fully control the room and control someone's life.
Well, and what an over-competitive person looks like when
Yeah.
they just let go, which
Yeah.
is like really like disgusting and scary too.
Really gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really sad that her character was that low in life and she got into a city, like literal Sin City, that
Yeah.
didn't care about any inhibition at all.
Where she could thrive, yeah.
And she thrived for what she thought was a
For
good
her horses,
time.
yeah.
Yeah. And then she did, I'm assuming she got her suitcase back from that guy that picked her up again
That
after he stole her suitcase when they got to
was
Vegas.
such a weird, that was such a weird, funny thing. But I don't know. It was like it was almost like they want you to feel bad for her, like when in the beginning, it's just like even at
It
that
was working
point.
up to a certain point.
Well, I don't know. Even at that point, I was just like, but I think one thing that kept coming back to me is like, who are they trying to portray? Like, who are the people that they're trying to say, like, this is what this is about, other than like just the general idea of showgirls. And it was weird because I caught them mentioning Janet Jackson and Paula Abdul after she kicked Cristal down the stairs. And I'm like, is that like who
They're
you're
trying to
like,
model.
yeah, imagining this to kind of be kind
I
of,
could see that,
but
but
like,
more than anything, this character ends up being throughout the movie a victim, a another in a way too big sea of people that is getting exploited left and right and being told while being exploited, this is exactly what you asked for.
and believing it.
Yeah.
And believing that's exactly what
It's
he's out for.
sad.
And it also seemed like from what I read, fostered a real an intense relationship between Gershon and Berkeley
Oh, yeah.
outside
Oh,
of set.
really?
Like they kind of were like pushing really hard at each other on set, and they were pushing each other hard on set too.
Dang. Like, ladies, you don't need to get full meta with it now.
So kind of a pivot point from that. The productions that we got to see, I kind of wanted to see all the productions, all the different like vignettes that they had because it was an interesting story. I mean, I would rather have them fully clothed for to see it.
Some of them,
Yeah.
yeah. Well,
For some scenes, like the kind of dominatrix.
There are places where it gives art and like there is a reason for all of this nakedness, and it's not just male gaze. And then there are places where, like, oh no, the only reason people are topless in this is because of the male gaze, and that's it.
Well, yeah, and I think the whole idea of like the theatrical concept with like people running around with their shirts off and stuff like that's
Are you
I'm
a
sure
happy
that's
admiral?
yeah,
Are you happy?
but
We could change that real quickly.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of that is pretty much there, like pretty true to form with that. And I think that wasn't really gratuitous, but there was so much that was gratuitous and unnecessary.
There was gratuitous violence, gratuitous nudity, gratuitous drug use. Like, it even says on the DVD, because it's NC-17, do not, no one under 18 can watch this movie.
Like, ever.
Kind of a step beyond that, not only do I think that no one under 18 should be watching this movie or listening to this show anymore, at least listening to this episode
This
anymore,
specific
but men,
episode.
right?
If you listen to a show, cool. Yeah, but not this episode.
Not this
Not this
episode,
episode.
please. But I think this movie needs to be. I think Paul Verhoeven and the writer definitely intended for this to be viewed with full maturity and with full objectification of women taken off of the brain. The problem is that's really difficult for any men to do in the 20th or 21st century. Difficult, not impossible. It's
I
difficult.
was gonna say more difficult for
And I'm proud of.
Americans. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
More difficult for Americans.
I'm glad that the three of us in watching this movie, I hope, got what it was supposed to be, which is not just a porno. This is not just
No.
boobs on screen so you can see boobs on screen. No, there's a reason they're there and it's awful.
No. And for any of the listeners going, why did the Buntmeister say, "Are you happy, Admiral?" We all have on back on the Pelican sunglasses again.
Indeed.
We
I'm
do.
gonna adjust the lighting on
You're
my
sorry?
also.
Oh, so we all have different
Also, I'd
lightings?
also like to point out this is probably one of the better, well-known NC-17 films.
Besides Midnight Cowboy, I don't know why I went full country there, but Midnight Cowboy.
Midnight Cowboy.
All right, so
Over
for me, this
NC-17.
is one of the most well-known NC-17
Okay.
movies.
I can't name any other NC-17 movies off the top of my brain right now.
48 Hours. Is that NC-17? I don't know. That
I
might
don't
be
think
R.
that's, yeah, it's
I have
R.
my laptop in front of me, but I don't want that in my search history.
No, I completely agree with you. And this is a movie where it's just like, why? Why?
And like the answer to that is, I think the same with any but wise with any of Paul Verhoeven's films. It's because he could. Yeah. And because someone told him he could.
Also, it's probably like, how far can you get before they're going to hit you with NC-17? And at that point...
Why stop?
Yeah, why stop? Like, at that point, like, you might as well just push it. So that's probably, you know, at that point, he wanted to get his vision
What
out.
Do you think got the movie the NC-17 rating?
The drug use.
Like, is it for sure
the drug use and that one bedroom scene with her roommate?
The very much non-consensual scene.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I love how she took care of her friend and then she dipped out of Vegas. She's like, I'm out. At least she took care of her friend.
Such a bad person. Here, this note says, nothing good should happen to Nomi.
Do you have a list of the other movies that came out while when this one came out? Or...
Oh, I didn't.
Okay, it's all fine. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
We
know what movie came out in 1995. Jury Duty, which we reviewed last week. The Baumeister is so happy that we watched Jury Duty. He looks so upset.
It was fun. It had some fun moments. I'll reiterate, the best parts of it are Stanley Tucci and the dog.
Yep.
Stanley Tucci.
Oh, you know what else came out in 1995 that we could have reviewed the other day? Judge Dredd. Yeah. Batman Forever. Crimson Tide.
Johnny Mnemonic.
He's Cutthroat Island.
We already did Cutthroat Island for box office bomb month.
Seven.
The Quick and the Dead, which I also for some reason have on DVD next to me because the Admiral dropped it off the other day.
Yeah.
It's cute if you thought I was going to watch it.
No. No,
I'm going to watch it at some point.
No, that's gonna be a review.
Okay. Outbreak. Devil in the Blue Dress. Murder the Fist.
We already did Waterworld for box office bomb month.
I know we do.
Oh wait, no, that was that one year during COVID.
In the show,
First Night,
and you let me have two
Under Siege, two
End of the World movies,
Desperado.
Bongo.
Hey, y'all linked up.
Ace Ventura. The Nature Calls.
We are reading separate lists. That's not like
eight.
There's some for sex.
Hey, that is, and that's a Val Kilmer movie too.
Yeah.
So
Dragon Fury.
Never heard of that. All right.
Oh, the Mangler. That's a good one.
So I'm gonna do the thing for the release date. After, do you want to talk about the music? David A. Stewart.
David A. Stewart.
Was so the majority of the music for this movie is, as far as I can tell, pre-made tracks, or at the very least lots of guest stars. In fact,
he was a part of the
David Bowie, My Own Gods, Awesome Dixon, no doubt. Friggin' Prince was supposed to be on
so
it.
So you know what's interesting about this movie? You're saying all those like actual performers, like there were no guest appearances in this movie, by anybody famous or interesting.
Yeah, Kyle MacLachlan. That was
but he wasn't even a guest appearance. He was
so David Stewart is a part of the Euthermics, the band
Eurythmics.
Okay. Sorry,
there you go.
Eurythmics,
you got it.
which are known with
Good Fight Club.
Sweet Dreams Are Made of This.
Sweet Dreams.
So that's the same. He did the composing.
The music in this movie is the exact kind of music that would be blasting in a gentleman's club, which is not my genre of music.
That's the term, gentleman's club.
It's not my genre of music. It's big, it's bombastic, it's supposed to appeal to your lowest senses. And
that's what the Admiral plays in his Hummer all the time.
Yep.
What?
It could have been worse. He could have said Cybertruck.
His orange Hummer.
Sorry, one second. That must be the Admiral Tess and the Fantastic Frida taken out for a joyride. Notice I didn't announce that I don't know that. That's the Cinema Jim Mobile. If you see the Cinema Jim Mobile,
where would you park it? The video store parking lot is one compact spot.
Yeah, it hovers. It goes into time and space, and when I need it, I can call it back.
Yeah.
So,
like, time.
Yeah. So, the release date for Showgirls was September 22nd, 1995. So, happy 30th anniversary. You turned 30.
Yeah.
We will be talking about other, better, less traumatic movies that turned 30 this year.
The budget, 50 to 55 million. Do you want to guess how much the actual intake was?
11 million.
37.8.
Oh, okay.
So made a little bit more back, probably for people going, hey, you want to go see, you want to go see boobs?
Made under budget, though.
Yeah.
It did not, it supposedly did well on video release later.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
I read that Steven Spielberg would not watch the end of the movie and requested a physical copy of it.
Oh, it's well. Like,
why? Yeah. Why?
You know, okay, for the not wanting to finish the movie part, I get it, because I also didn't want to finish the movie. This was a rough watch.
Tal McLaughlin famously stayed through the whole screening.
Really?
And hated every minute of it.
Does that surprise me?
He's a good guy.
To say the very least, it's a rough watch. But here on Cinema Gems, we have a rating system. And Admiral, you want to do it?
Full gym.
Amazing movie.
Half gym.
It's just all right.
No gym.
Don't bother.
Dr. Amon Kringle.
Yeah.
What do you give Showgirls from 1995?
Yeah. So if I was to average all my favorite Paul Verhoeven movies
together, so Grady got a curb.
Yeah. I would give
not
it.
A curb? Not a curb?
A curb.
I would give it. The
curb stomp.
Still no gem. But all the other movies would definitely get gems. So, yeah.
But Mustard, do you want to go?
This is for sure the, at least of the Paul Verhoeven movies I've seen. And again, I love Starship Troopers. Actually love that movie. It's a perfect indictment of fascism and militarism and how easy it is for people to get sucked into that under the right circumstances. And that is scary relevant right now in particular.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part. I ain't doing it's... I love Starship Troopers, so I want to go easy on this movie. But it was, like I said, a very hard watch. And I saw this as more a horror movie with some satirical elements than anything else. So it's a very, very scratched up, very rough around the edges half jet for me.
Sorry, but the fact that you scratched up, scuffed up, I agree with you. Because of your DVD that you got.
Yeah. Yeah, like the DVD. Oh, wow. Someone hated this movie, and I don't necessarily blame them. I just hope they got it.
They were scratching the gem on the movie.
I hope the light bulb clicked in their head about the realism, the horrors that this movie implies before they destroyed library property.
I 100% agree with you. I also give this movie a high no gem.
High no gem. Okay. Okay.
Like,
I hope you know. Look, if any Cinemaniacs can read music, I want you to imagine a rest with a fermata over it.
I know what those words mean. Don't get it, but sure. You have to write it out for me to understand.
It's just nothing forever. That's the problem.
It's a high no gym. It's a no gym, but sometimes, like.
I appreciate the concept of high no gym. Almost a
half gym. No.
Like, I think it was very thematic, and I think it was very strongly thematic, and like I think it definitely filled out his vision for it, but I didn't really see anything. Like, it was a bad movie.
And it's okay. And that's that's your opinion. Yeah. And you're entitled to it. And if you want to give us your opinion of Showgirls, please email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We'd love an interaction, especially for the Showgirls episode.
Sure.
Specifically?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I would like to see that.
Don't be creepy, though, please.
Well, yeah.
Please. Paul Verhoeven, I do love the rest of your movies.
Wait, he's listening?
Especially Star Trek Troopers.
Yeah, he is.
Starship Troopers.
He's like, when did I make Star Trek Troopers?
I'd watch.
I don't think the Bubba should see Basic Instinct, though.
Oh, I have.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, yeah.
We're not going to talk about these things.
So,
we're not the right show for that. We're barely the right show for this.
I was about to say, are we even the show for this?
Barely. Like, look, as long as y'all take everything we say as three straight-ish married men with a huge grain of salt.
Yep. Big salt.
We mean our best. We mean well, and I think Paul Verhoeven and the writer of this movie did as well. But
to capture the American,
I have to think that this would have been more understandable and more, I don't know, watchable and a better movie if done by women for women.
Oh,
not
Greta Gerwig could do a remake.
Greta Gerwig could knock a remake out of the park.
Yeah.
I would not encourage a whole lot of other people to go after remaking this movie.
No, I mean, don't remake it, but, you know, I'm just saying, woman for women. You know?
Yeah. It's a little bit weird to me that a movie all about have the world of entertainment being awful for women should have been made by men. Also,
it was through a male gaze.
Well, and it was also during a time when that wasn't exactly...
Yeah, the Bechdel test wasn't exactly thought of in filmmaking yet.
Unfortunately, but yeah.
I mean, that's all you can really say about Showgirls.
Next time we have you on, Dr. Almond Kringle, I hope we are reviewing a movie where the women and the characters in it have more autonomy and more agency.
Showgirls 2.
Oh, yep. God.
2016 or 2012, 2011?
Yeah. I actually saw that Paul Verhoeven was supposed to be working on a Conan remake.
Oh,
yeah, like
that would be really
cool. Be crazy. King Conan,
yeah.
Ooh.
I would love that. Like that would be awesome.
That would be.
But cool. I don't think it's happening.
Yeah. So it's always a pleasure to have Dr. Alman Kringle back on the show.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
Yeah. And we're in the same room.
It's so
and it, I guess it was okay having the Admiral back in the annex.
Wow.
Acceptable.
Wow. I didn't scratch the DVD, man.
Acceptable.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Really sure.
You know who it probably was? The dogs using the time machine.
Oh.
And they scratch it up.
Yeah.
They have on their trench coat.
They went back.
With their little hat.
They went back to do it.
And get me enough kibble.
Thank you, as always, to our amazing Swapper Jacks, friends and family members, and our Cinemaniacs who send us in everything you send in. Thank you so much for the input. You can send us more at cinemagems15@gmail.com.
Yes, and also thank you, Marty, who I am hanging out with tomorrow.
Nice.
Yes.
And we're going to get, I think we're going to maybe have a bite to eat or something.
Hi, Marty.
Yeah, but thank you for Marty and the Aragon Observer for allowing us to be on your website, loweringpictures.com. I'm also going to guest star on a podcast for them. I don't know the title yet. When I do, I'll edit it back in right now.
There you go.
Yeah, no, perfect. And guys, also thank Kevin George for letting us use his music. That man's amazing.
Thank you, Kevin George.
Exactly. And also, guys, remember to wipe your hooves and see you later. But remember, Black lives always matter.
Always matter.
Don't turn into a flaming windmill like Nomi.
Oh my God. She could have took out Vegas with it. She could have took out the old strip.
Almost did.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Showgirls.